So good to be with you tonight. Good evening. It's good to be with you all. In the book of Timothy, we find an aged preacher writing to a young preacher and giving him a lot of good information. And not information from his mind, but information from God. And I just appreciate so much, as I've spent a lot of time studying 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus and reading the knowledge and wisdom that is in the God's holy and divine word for, and making direct application for me as a, I don't consider myself a young preacher anymore, but kind of middle of the road. But there is much knowledge in this book for all of us as Christians. And one of the thoughts we're going to look at tonight is the concept of study and how important study is. I've always understood that principle, but it has been renewed in my mind through this last prep class. And for all practical purposes, I need to begin by saying thank you to Kevin and Kyle and Chris and Brandon. It's been a rich time preparing to teach. And it's been evident that a lot of study has been done. And I'm just so impressed with the young people of this group. I know we don't often praise the young people. We often point out their imperfections and what they're doing wrong, but there are a lot of young people in this group that are really wanting the Lord's work to succeed in this area, and I just appreciate them so very, very, very much. And no doubt, those teenagers are going to benefit greatly. The adults, as they sit with and listen to Brandon and I, not so sure about you guys, but I do know the teenagers are going to be richly blessed. Several of you came out this morning and said how much you're looking forward to a textual study. And it's becoming clear that this group wants to grow spiritually. It's been that way since I've got here, but it seems like there is a renewed sense of urgency to that. And I appreciate that so much. It's helped me to be excited about the work here. It's helped me to be excited as a Christian. And no doubt, as you've talked to each other, you've helped each other as well in this process. And it keeps coming back to one thing. As we talk about study and Bible classes and how important it is to be at Bible classes and study your Bible at home, that same word keeps coming up. You see how many times we've used it already tonight? And so, please give me your attention tonight as we study about the word study and how important that is. And so let's begin. You'll notice that we're going to take the word study and have a point for each of the letters. So, S, we're going to look and study the Bible systematically. Well, what does that mean when we talk about studying God's word systematically? In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 15, it says this, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved of God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." If we were going to have one verse that would be the theme to this lesson, it would be this text here. And in particular, as we wrap this lesson up, our desire, each and every one of our desires, should be able to attain the knowledge that we can and be able to rightly divide the word of truth. Tonight I was talking to one of our dear sisters here, and she said she wants not opinions, but God's word. Do we amen that? Isn't that what we should all be interested in? God's word? Because when we get God's word, when we learn it, when we have insight into God's word, we can then look at what's happening or decisions or choices that need to be made and rightly divide it and make the right decision. Let me have asked you a question. How many of you want to make the wrong decision on a daily basis? How many of us want to do that? None of us want to make the wrong decision because we know there's tremendous consequences that can come with wrong decisions, right? Well, spiritually speaking, how important is God's word to us? I would tell us without God's word, we would make a whole bunch of mistakes, sins, and we would fall short of God's glory. We would have no ruler, no measuring stick for how we live our lives. But thanks be to God that His Word has been revealed to us. And so as we look at God's Word, we need to understand the importance of studying God's Word and doing so systematically. What's that mean? Well, it means to study regularly. It means each day, each week, setting aside the time each and every day. I know one of the things that my girls will be doing this next quarter is they've got memory verses. And one of the reasons they have memory verses is because the teachers feel if they have memory verses, they'll work on that every day. And they will work on it every day. And so they're in God's Word every day. It means that we study books. And what I mean by books, I don't mean the books that men write, but the books of the Bible, like we're going to do. 1 Corinthians, get into a book. Read it. Study it. Study by subjects. Pick a character and learn all that you can about a character in the Bible. Have a plan for your Bible study. I think it's interesting. One thing that I've come to appreciate as I've grown as a Christian is I don't just read scriptures to read it anymore. I read it to find out what the application is for me. And in order for me to understand the application for me, I have to understand the context that it's written in, who it's written to, as we'll talk about in just a moment from now, the time period, what was happening in that time. So then I can pull some things out from that text to apply to me. Don't have a lot that I want to say about the letter S, but we sure do have some things that we need to say about the letter T. We talk about studying the Bible thoroughly. Why do that? Why take time to study the Bible thoroughly? I know one of the things, the temptations I used to have in Bible class, probably not so different than most of you, we would have books that we work out. I would flip to the questions on the back page, fill out the questions before I even looked at the lesson to my best of my ability. Then I would look for those verses to answer the questions, never looking at the lesson. And so I really didn't have a thorough understanding of the book or the topic that we were studying. When we approach Bible study, it should be a thorough study for us. Why? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 16. It says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. You know, it's kind of interesting when you look at a study and you study textually. If we were going to do a textual study right now, we would look at what does it mean there? All scripture, how much of it? Every bit of it. Every bit of it's what? It's by the inspiration of God. It's literally God's breath upon us. Brandon talked about a text downstairs in Corinthians, and we have to understand when we study God's Word, it's as if He's speaking to us. It's His breath upon us. And so we have great respect for God's Word. We know that God revealed this to us. It's as if He is talking to us face to face. I'll tell you, when we begin to understand and appreciate that the source of these words is not man, but God, it should grant us in our minds an appreciation to approach God's Word and study it thoroughly, because it's not man's wisdom, but it's God's. A little bit further in this text, in verses 14 through 17, it teaches us the effects of God's Word. What can it do for us? Let's read it in its entirety here. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learnt them. Verse 15 of chapter 3, it says that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, here it is, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Notice as Paul is talking to young Timothy, a young evangelist, what does he tell him about what God's Word can equip him or help him be? Wise. How many of us want to be wise? I know I do. I know I make a lot of crazy decisions on a continual basis. I long for wisdom. I long to be more wise. Paul longed for Timothy to be wise, and what he instructed Timothy to do was know God's Word. If he knew God's Word, it could equip him to make wise decisions. He goes on to say, all scripture, as we talked about, are given by the inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. This would be the work that young Timothy would enter into. And Paul tells him, God's word, which is God, the scriptures, which is God's breath upon him, would help him greatly in his work as a gospel preacher. But it would also, in verse 17, the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Why take time to study the Bible? Why take time and push out something that's not so important and make time to study God's Word every single day? Why would you do that? Because you understand who it comes from. And you understand, if you know God's Word, the effect that it can have on your life. That we understand these principles, it really sets us up in a good place. We need to study God's Word thoroughly. You know, it's interesting. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, as Paul writes there to young Timothy as well, he says in verse 13, 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 13, till I come, give attention to reading. You get that? Till I come, 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 13, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them so that your progress may be evident to all. Isn't it exciting to watch young Christians grow? I tell you, the real mark to see a young Christian mature is what he or she prays about. I got to tell a little story on Ryan Clark. We were standing at the back of the building and he came out this morning and he said to me, "Neil, fabulous lesson." Ryan Clark. He said, "But I have something I want to tell you." And so I perked up and started to listen. He said, "That power that you talked about this morning, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve that power." That's a young man that's learning to be humble in spirit, isn't it? And it's exciting to see young people grow. It's exciting to see young Christians who might be advanced in years grow and blossom. It's exciting to see that happen. But I'll tell you, that only happens, as Paul instructs young Timothy, if we give attention to reading. How important is reading? My girls, their teacher that they have this year, he doesn't believe in homework. I thought, wow, this is my kind of teacher. Where were they whenever I was growing up? But he's an avid believer in 20 minutes every day of reading. And he said, we need to get the words in their head. And he showed us a whole bunch of statistics on how important reading is to young people. I will put before us, nothing can substitute this idea for us pertaining to knowledge. We have to read. Paul gave Timothy instructions, as it states for us. Give attention to reading, exhortation, doctrine. Dig into it. Really get to be acquainted with it. Again, going back to our very principle that we're talking about. We today study the Bible thoroughly. And then take heed to what you read. Make application to your life. Really have to do that. Thirdly, we need to study the Bible understandingly. Well, what's that mean? Turn with me over to Ezra. There's probably no better text to turn to explain this than what we find in Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. I want to read a couple of verses here. It pertains to Ezra and his work as a priest and what he did to instruct God's people. It says in Nehemiah chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, "Now all the people gathered as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel." And here it is. "So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of the men and women and all who could hear with what? Understanding. On the first day of the 7th month. It says in verse 3, "Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from the morning till midday before the men and the women, those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law." Verse 8, drop down there. "So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God And they gave sense and helped them to understand the reading. It's sad to say, I know I've been the person. You read the text, you put the check mark off, I've done my Bible study today. Well, have you? You think about the first two principles that we've looked at systematically and thoroughly. Could you confidently say that you studied your Bible that day? If that's all you did, just open the pages and read a few verses and said, okay, I've done my study today. Have you studied? No, you've read. Good for you. That's a good starting place. You've read. But have you studied? You see, this example of Ezra and God's people and listening and studying, it explains so much to us here. In verse 8, so they read distinctly from the book. There's the systematically part of it, right? They had a plan, a purpose for it. Bring the book. Let's read the book. Here's where we're going to start. They gave sense and helped them to understand the reading. You see, there was explanation to it. The people walked away understanding something. It goes back to the very idea that we looked at in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, the idea of rightly dividing or handling aright. How can we handle aright? How can we divide rightly without understanding God's Word? Stop and think for just a second. How many different doctrines are there pertaining to salvation? How many ways can you be saved if you listen to the religious world? Who knows? Sky's the limit. What does God say? And see, that's what we need to get to as we want to grow and blossom as a Christian. Study God's Word to understand it. What does God say? Ezra understood the importance. And so he just didn't read the book, but he gave understanding to it. You know, it's kind of like, I'm a strong advocate of application, right? So it's reading the Word and then giving application. How does it apply? I think it's important that we all approach Bible study like that. Read your Bible and then say, okay, that's where the work comes in. How does this apply to me? One thing to read it. It's another thing to understand it. How does it apply to me? One of the things that I've come to appreciate is when we can distinguish between the Old Testament and New Testament. That's a good thing. When we can understand that, we're doing okay. But more is needed. We need to understand when we read a text, like what we just did in Nehemiah, there are certain things that we need to ask ourselves. First off, who's speaking? Who's being spoken to? What's the purpose? Another question we might ask, which dispensation are they under? You might be sitting there tonight and say, what in the world are you talking, dispensation? There's dispensations. And so we have to understand these things in order to truly understand the text. Thoroughly. Study thoroughly. So we can understand God's Word. I know one of the things that we find in our Bibles is center column references. They are valuable tools for us. Cross references, concordance, Bible dictionaries. These are things maybe you're not familiar with. Talk with me after services if you're not familiar with these. I'll help you understand what these books can do for you. I can gear you towards some commentaries or some Bible dictionary. I think I've got several downstairs. I'll give you one to help you in your Bible study. And our whole desire is not so you can leave here and say, well, my preacher says this or my preacher says that. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be in a Bible discussion with somebody and say, this is what the Bible says? How many times have you talked to your religious friends about a question and they'll tell you, well, my preacher says this, or my elder says this. Well, I don't mean to sound obnoxious, but who cares who your preacher is? Who cares who the elders are? What does God's Word say? That's what's important. What does His Word say? So as you do your Bible study, study to understand what's being talked about. Fourthly, we need to study the Bible devotionally. Let's go back to the book of Psalm. You've come to appreciate that, as I've mentioned before. It's one of my books I spend a lot of time in now. Book of Psalm in chapter 119 and verse 11, it says this, Psalm 119 verse 11, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. You think about the writer there and what's recorded for us. And in verse 97 of Psalm 119, it says this, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day. You come to appreciate when we get into a Bible study, that we need to hide it in our heart. How do you know that you're doing that? Let's maybe make some application to this. You ever found yourself studying a subject or a topic or maybe a book like 1 Corinthians or a different book? And you start studying and before too long you look up and an hour and a half has passed and you think, man alive, where did the time go? That's when you know you're doing some good Bible study. You're in it. It's what we find in Psalm 119 and verse 11. You're hiding it in your heart. You enjoy what you're doing. And because you enjoy what you're doing, you're taking it in. I'll tell you what, we went out to eat this afternoon and I asked what the side vegetable was and they said, cabbage. Well, I hate cabbage. There was no way that was going in my mouth. I wouldn't take it in. But the baby carrots, I took in. Brethren, when we learn to love Bible study, we enjoy taking it in. It tastes good to us. We want more. We're not satisfied with a little bit. We want more. And that's what we're talking about here. That we approach God's Word in such a way that we want it deep within us. We want it in our hearts. We want it there always. We're meditating on it, as 97 would teach us. Psalm chapter 1 and verse 2 teaches us the principle, as we mentioned, this concept of meditation. I like what it says in Psalm 1 and verse 2 because it really explains this idea of meditation. Let me read it to you. Psalm chapter 1 and verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Again, going back to this appreciation of God's Word. And he says this, and his law he meditates day and night. Do you know what that word meditates means there? It means to ponder by talking to himself. Now, note it doesn't say answer yourself. That's when you know you're crazy. But approaching study in such a way that you sit down, you look at a text, you've looked at it thoroughly, you know the context, you know who's being talked to, you know why it's there, you know all the stuff there, and you get it in your head because that's where you want it, you love God's Word, and then you start talking to yourself. That's interesting. Have you ever said that? Nobody's around, you're not talking to anybody, but you're talking to yourself. That's interesting. Have you ever said that out loud? That's what we're talking about here. Meditate means to think upon it, to have it there, that you are reasoning the thoughts. You're not just letting them in and bouncing them out, but they stay there. They work around. You mull it over. When we are studying our Bible devotionally, it's not just the eyes that are needed, but the heart is very much needed as well. Because when we get our heart involved, it's then that good and wonderful things happen with our life pertaining to God's Word. Look at the book of James in chapter 1. James chapter 1. You know what happens when we reach that place where our eyes, our mind, our heart are all working together to study God's Word? Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 22. But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. You think about that for just a second. Your eyes, your mind, your heart, we're all working together to study God's Word. You're doing it devotionally. Do you know what ends up happening with your life? Your life begins to align with what? God's Word. That's what happens. So you see, if you remove deep Bible study from our life, your life might never align with God's Word. You might think it does, but it never really can because it's never really sunk in. Kind of like the person that calls himself a Christian, but has never truly been converted to God. You see, our desire as we live our lives with each breath that we take should be to draw closer to God. Isn't that what 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 12 says when he says this, for this reason I also suffered all things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him until that day. Each and every one of us should come to know God. Does that mean we'll see Him face to face? No. But we sure can know God if we approach study in the fashions that we've talked about tonight up till this point. Well, lastly, study the Bible yearningly. Think about Matthew chapter 5. Remember Matthew chapter 5? We talked about that not long ago. Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is standing on the side of this mountain preaching this radical gospel message to those that are present and are hearing. It's not just His disciples, but it's all that could hear Him preaching this message. And He says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." You see, when we study God's Word, and we do so as we've talked about, it's never enough. I've heard some people talk about the joy they have reading. That's not me. I've heard people say, "I can't hardly put a book down when I pick it up till it's done." That's not me. But I'll tell you, when I study God's Word, that's what happens to me. I love it. And we all should reach that place in our life where we hunger and thirst for God's Word. I want to look at one other verse along this line, and then we'll wrap up this lesson. Psalm 119. Let's turn back to the book of Psalm. 119. And in verse 131. Psalm 119 and in verse 131. It says this, "I open my mouth and I long for your commands." We think about life and we think about the idea of hungering. I know most, if not everybody here this evening is like me. We don't just eat one meal a day. Before too long, that meal passes through our system and we're hungry for another one. I wonder if we approached Bible study in that fashion. Most of us eat three times a day. Some of us eat more than that. What if we opened our Bible that many times a day? Where would we be with our knowledge? And not just open our Bible, as we've talked about tonight, not just open your Bible and read a few verses, but studied your Bible at least three times a day. What do you think would happen to your knowledge of Scripture? What do you think would happen to the decisions that you would make on a daily basis? See, God's Word does so much for us. Yearn for it. Hunger and thirst for it. Receive it as God's Word. Go to it for comfort and guidance. You see, when we study God's Word, it does so much good for us. Hopefully you could see that tonight in the lesson. And I hope, my hope and desire is that you've maybe had a refresher course of something you already understood. And that's how important study is for you. And studying it like this, how much good it can do for you. But you know who else benefits from you studying like this? All the people around you. Because if you do as we've said tonight, as you study God's Word, you understand God's Word, and apply God's Word, all those around you are affected in a positive way. And so I hope as we get ready to go into a new year, you don't have to wait till the new year, but I hope as we go into this new year that each and every one of us will have some kind of plan, commit to ourselves that I am done reading God's Word and I'm going to start studying God's Word. Your salvation depends upon it. So take God's Word seriously. I appreciate what we talked about this morning around the Lord's Supper table and how important that aspect of our worship is, and it is. But I'll tell you, God's Word is important as well. And it's not anything to take lightly. It will change us in ways that we could not even imagine if we just study it and apply it. Are you here tonight and not a child of God? If that's you, I humbly ask of you to become one. It's not just because that's what I want. It's because that's what God wants. And so if you need to obey the gospel tonight, maybe you've not been baptized, maybe tonight is that night for you. I pray that it is if you've not been baptized. Are you willing to repent of your life? Are you willing to confess the name of Jesus Christ? And are you willing to be baptized? If that's you tonight, we will do so very humbly. But the choice is yours, and it always is. Are you here and you're a Christian? You've not been living right up till this point. Maybe there's change that needs to take place in your life. Don't wait another minute. Ask God for forgiveness and know that He'll forgive you tonight, that you can get back on that path again and be right with Him. Together as we stand and sing, test, examine, and know yourselves, and come to the front or raise your hand while we stand and sing.